to Challenge Cup Matters. It's another loverupelite.com podcast. My name's Dave Parkinson. I'm alongside Adrian Jackson, and we do what it says on the tin. The Challenge Cup, it does matter.
You're absolutely right, David. Challenge Cup does matter, doesn't it? It's the Premier Cup knockout competition in the UK, and it's something for the minnows to dream about, making that long, rocky road towards Wembley.
It was, of course, round four action. We're going to pick out the best bits, obviously, because we don't want to really waffle on and do what other talk shows tend to do about the rugby league and dissect it to the nth degree. But we have got some guest reaction. We've got Paul Clough from St Helens celebrating his 150th appearance just last weekend. We've got Jason Dimitri, the player coach of Keith the Cougars. Tony Smith of Warrington Wolves gives us his time. And John Stankovic from Rockville Hornets also talks about the game he's got coming up for his Hornets side. So, back show.
Well done to Paul Clough, by the way, 150th appearance. And it's like he's been around for years.
It's only about 23 as well, isn't it? We've got Bradford Bulls 72, Doncaster 6, Featherstone Rovers 23, Castleford Tigers 16, Hull FC 16, Huddersfield Giants 42, Hull Kingston Rovers 18, Castleman Dragons 20, Hunslet Hawks 18, Batley Bulldogs 21, Keithley Cougars 18, Warrington Wolves 44, Leeds Rhinos 38, Wakefield Trinity Wildcats 18, Leeds Anchorian 68, Rochdale Hornets 18, London Broncos 72, Dewsbury Rams 4, Oldham 26, Barrow Raiders 14, Southfield Scorpions 28, Halifax 84, Swinton Lions 70, Gateshead Thunder 10, Whitehaven 18, Salford City Reds 58, Whitby Vikings 38, St Helens 40, Wigan Warriors 98, North Wales Crusaders 4, and finally Dark City Knights 12, Sheffield Eagles 50. Lots of points on show. Lots of tries, plenty of goals, plenty to talk about.
There's some cracking games in rugby league, despite some heavy scorelines. Like you said, plenty of tries scored, and the guy who scored the most on the day is Sam Tompkins. He scored 6.
Yeah, it didn't quite reach the Wigan record set in the Challenge Cup of 7 tries for a Wigan player.
The North Wales Crusaders' tough day at the office, wasn't it? And they'd be relieved that Owen Brown got their solitary try to make sure they weren't scoreless.
Yeah, right near the end as well, and Brownie's got a big future in rugby league there in North Wales. Let's hope that it's only the start of things to come for North Wales Crusaders. I'm going to pick Swinton Lions as the next game just to touch down with. They had a conventional victory, you can say, against Gateshead Thunder. Scored plenty of points though. Notice Ian Mort, he kicked 11 from 12. A couple of tries there for Martin Ainscoe as well. And Kevin Penny, he's rarely been seen in a Swinton jersey, but he's picked up 2 tries too.
One game that really surprised me really was the one between Lee and Rochdale. When I seen the final scoreline, I was thinking, no way is the gap between the Championship and Championship 1 literally 50 points.
It was a fluent performance really from Lee Centurions. In the first half they looked by 26 points to 12, probably bombed a couple of tries as well if in all fairness. Rochdale though, they showed a real willingness to attack and only knocked them for some dodgy defence at the other end. We've got to be talking about a close game, but second half, all Lee Centurions, they scored 7 tries, and highlighting that game was a sparkling 4-try performance from on loan Brian Briley, who certainly set in the Championship and the Challenge Cup alive.
Now, John Stankovic would have been a little bit happier in the first half, as it was only 26-12 for Lee, but he must have been fitting come the full time whistle, and we'll hear from him right now.
Joined by John Stankovic, Rochdale Hornets coach, and what can we say about that? 68 points to 18. Not quite what you was looking for, I'd imagine.
No, definitely not what I was looking for, but what I expected. We went into the game without 8 first team players, so you know, we were always going to be in effect on the back foot. I felt Lee were a far, far more experienced team, stronger, fitter, quicker of thought, quicker of foot. Obviously, I was without 4 players in the pack, just in the pack, that started last week's game against Oldham, and I thought last week took a lot out of us mentally and physically as well, and it was always going to be tough coming away to Lee. You know, I was really positive that we could put up a performance, and I felt at times that, you know, we showed some nice touches. I just think that, you know, individually, the individual class that some of the players had, like really at 7 for Lee, was absolutely outstanding. And I don't expect him to play at this level for a long time. I expect him to go back to his parent club and be playing in Super League pretty soon. And that can be probably said for half a dozen of the Lee lads, you know, the Super League quality players. And there's a huge difference, you know, in levels. And I'm one that obviously came up with that final result. So no, I'm not overly disappointed, to be honest. That might be sort of quite an unusual thing to say, but you know, our focus is on Barrow next week, and it always has been.
I was getting ready to put the tin hat on, actually, before coming interviewing you, because I wasn't sure quite how you'd react to that.
Yeah, well, no, I spoke to the players after the game, and obviously disappointed with a lot of the one-on-one tackles we missed. But I think, you know, from a player's point of view, they were obviously coming into this game, and I can guarantee they'd never ever think, you know, we're just going there to make up the numbers. But in the back of their mind, realistically, they're thinking, you know, we're going to leave on a hide into nothing. We're not going to get a big payday, you know, like some of the teams maybe have today, you know, that have played Super League opposition. And, you know, they've probably had a tough week at work this week. So it's a really big ask, and people don't appreciate that. So I wasn't as harsh as I possibly could be. Now, if it's the same result next week against Barrow, I can tell you now that there'll be punches flying in the changing rooms.
John Stankovic, surprisingly not fizzing. Like you said, I was expecting to, when you heard me asking, I thought I'd have to go up to him with the tin hat on because his side has conceded so many points. Well, not so. He was proud of the efforts of his boys, but just felt that in the second half they were playing off the field. Let's have a look at one of the old Super League games here. Hull FC 16, Huddersfield Giants 42. George scoring a couple of tries, Kudjo chipping in with a couple as well. Ruff continuing his excellent prompting form.
Not good weekend up on the East Shorts with great Stanley Cross at his defeat for Hopkinson Rovers against Castellan Dragon as well. It was heartbreaking.
Trent Robinson and Hull felt that his side certainly deserved a victory. It ended up being a narrow result, but actually Castellan Dragons were well in control of that one at half time, 20-0 to the good. We saw Price score a couple of tries for the Dragons, Henderson chipping in with one, Giroud kicking four goals from four attempts, and then an almighty comeback from Hull Kingston Rovers in the second half. It resulted in four tries, and they actually outscored the visitors 4-3. But Thompson, so often he's been the saviour for Hull Kingston Rovers, he only kicked one from four, and that's the reason why Hull Kingston Rovers are out of the cup.
Another close game is Midlands Vikings versus St Helens, but it's got to be said that 40 points to 16 in a light witness role wouldn't be facing another hiding.
Until the 70th minute, it was looking like it was going to be another hiding. St Helens were looking strong, they were looking capable. They'd already notched 7 tries, and you would have expected them to grab another couple at least against what was a fading witness effort. But a brain fart, you can say, from James Robin gets himself a yellow card. And Witness, they just got some resolve, they got some character, they got some impetus from somewhere, and really did push the pedal to the floor. They were brilliant, to be honest, in that last 10 minutes. I wish they'd started the game like that.
He started playing once it did go to 40, when he got a try to make it 40-22, everyone just thought it was just merely a consolation try, but like you said, well, we got a sin bin, we just got two quick fade tries, and it went for the fact that Patrick Arvan hit the post, might have had an upset on the cards.
Just clinging on at the end, weren't they, St Helens, literally. I've got to give Patrick Arvan plenty of credit in that game. He scored 2 tries, kicked 5 goals. There was also a big effort, I thought, from Hep Cahill as well. Those two players in particular did not deserve to be picking up losing pay.
One player that did pick up winning pay with a great performance of Paul Clough. Paul Clough, Saints always expected to win this one. Was you expecting Witness to be as competitive as they were for the full 80?
Well, yeah, we had the chance to sort of finish them off when we got 18 points up in the second half, and with 25 minutes to go, we just took our foot off the pedal, you know, and we invited them back into the game by playing soft. And, you know, you do that to anyone, they'll come back. The Super League standard, and we showed that we were lucky in the end. You know, it could have gone bad for us.
And just the performance of the whole, how do you feel Saints went during that game?
Yeah, there's periods, obviously, where we went well. You know what I mean? You don't score, was it 40 odd points without going well, but it's you know, it's shocking. It's just not up to the standards that we set then in that amount of points against any team at any level, and you know, that's not where it was. So we need a lot of hard work.
With the squad first, and you got to get through the game and really put on a good show with some of the tries scored.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, like I said, you know, maybe the signs there from the start, you know, letting them get it the first try and that, but you know, we crawled our way back into the game. We stuck to our game plan. We started completing sets and playing quick, and you know, we got the end of rewards off the back of that. But like I said, we let it slip, which was very disappointing. And you know, that's not what any Sinclair side does at any level. And you know, we need to fix that up.
So,
when
you got to 40 points to 16, you seem to be coasting at one point.
Well, exactly. Yeah, we were coasting, but you know, you don't win games by doing the easy thing. You know, sometimes you've got to work hard to make it easy. And, you know, once we worked hard and made it easy, we didn't want to do the hard work again. And, you know, that's the reason why we sort of let them back into the game. But that's not taking anything away from Widnes. You know, they worked hard. They could have easily put the queue on the rack and let us just walk all over them. But, you know, they didn't, and they kept them there till the end. So, you know, they're a good side, and they proved it today. You know, they pushed us all the way.
Suppose today's game gives you a bit of an indication of what to expect in the next game of Super League on Friday against the Vikings.
Oh, yeah, playing them a week, you know, 2 weeks on the run's obviously going to, you know, obviously help us, you know, with our game plan and that, but it'll help them. You know, they know our strengths now, they know our weaknesses, and they'll take confidence away from that, which, you know, if, you know, we were to, you know, sort of get our foot on the gas and went, you know, further up 40 points to 16, you know, and even further than that, do them score, you know, maybe next week they might start down themselves, but, you know, they're going to definitely be confident coming into next week, which is disappointing from our point of view, you know, from Kieran and Mike's as a coaching staff and us as players, but we know we're going to work hard and, you know, we'll be ready next week.
Clock off the 150 gone out, like we said at the top of the show. It's been around here, it's a pretty good performance for him. I thought he was one of Central's best on the night. It was a huge victory for London Broncos as they took on Dewsbury Rams. Dewsbury, they rested 10 players, so they had obviously realised right from the off of being drawn out of the hat against London Broncos. They weren't going to compete, and London Broncos put their young side to the sword.
What's the point in Dewsbury Rams being a challenge club that's going to do that? You expect the Super League clubs to be doing that when they're playing a championship team, not the other way around.
It's like they just waved the white flag, to be honest. I think that we haven't heard the last of that. But Dewsbury Rams obviously deciding that they have better priorities elsewhere. They're looking to make a real fist of playoff rugby in the championship this season. And best of luck to them, but I think it's at the detriment of the Challenge Cup.
One team that never rested the players was Jason Demetrius Keithley, and they gave Warrington a right game.
It was a real game. I mean, this time last year, the two sides met up over at Warrington. Warrington running an 80-0 success. So for Keithley to get on the board, not once, but three times in total during the game, they really did put a big effort in, and to restrict Warrington Wolves to 44 points really speaks volumes of everything that Jason Demetrius is doing there.
During that game as well, Keithley never threw the towel in, and they'd be quite happy to have finished the game the strongest of the two. He came up with two smarts rather than Sam Ops, who showed a lot of skill close to that try line.
He's still got Super League class, hasn't he, Sam Ops? He's been around for several years for Wakefield and Hull, and I think he's been a real good player, and he is still a very competent player.
He got the results, but it wasn't a classic Warrington performance.
Let's hear from their boss, Tony Smith, now.
Tommy Smith at times, boys seem to be in full control, but Keithley did make life difficult at times.
Yeah, I scored a couple of tries off kicks, or three, I think, in the end. No, spirited, and we always expected a spirited performance from him. But, I thought we defended very well, and we're right, you know, pretty much in control of most of that game. We got a little scrappy in a couple of areas, but you know, expect that in a, you know, different sort of build-up and different sort of opposition and different environment to, you know, what we've been used to some degree. And some of these boys, you know, it's good for them to come and see, you know, different environments like this and prepare for it under those sort of circumstances.
A lot of the youngsters you brought in today, that's good experience for them being out there today.
Yeah, they were terrific. Jordan Burke played his first grade game and. You know, he did very well in a position that, you know, is a pretty high pressured position at fullback, and I thought he handled it exceptionally well. So, it was good for Jordan, and, you know, young Brad Dwyer just keeps, you know, looking more at home, and he comes up with another try, and I think he scored every time he's gone out there so far, so he thinks this Super League, our first team stuff is good fun. But, I thought Curry was solid again, and Gaz O'Brien did a good job. So all the young guys, all took their chances pretty well. But I thought Tyrone was probably our best. Tyrone McCarthy, I thought he was very good right from the off.
Let's have a bit of reaction from the losing camp. Jason Demetriou, obviously proud of his side's efforts.
Jason Demetriou is always going to be difficult against Super League opposition, but you must have been happy with the effort from your troops today.
Yeah, well, I thought, you know, we did a lot of good things in the game. We did some things I don't think was so good. Discipline probably let us down a little bit. At the end of sets in the first half, gave Warrington too much field position. And you can't do that against a team with the quality they've got. And they scored some tries and, you know, broke us down. But thought was really happy with the way the lads kept fighting and to put some points on the last 10 minutes, which in general, you know, championship teams tend to fade away, but we didn't.
Yeah, as well, and the two tries by Sam Ops were two smart tries.
They were good tries, actually. Yeah, good tries, that especially Sam's first one on the team show that created some space on the edge and then kicked back in field, and there was plenty of legs pulling through, so I was happy with that. And then smart by March, he threw the kick for Obstie. So, yeah, there was plenty of good things in the game and plenty of positives to take in the next week.
So plenty, really, from both of those coaches to take away from this game. Worthwhile exercise in the end, Adrian.
It was a worthwhile exercise. The only thing that wasn't worthwhile was the roadworks outside that made life a nightmare for the fans that were trying to get to Cooper Park.
We saved the best for last, didn't we? Really big performance from Featherstone Rovers. They accounted for Castleford Tigers 23-16. Young hooker Darrell Clark actually opened the score after 4 minutes, but then Featherstone, they just hit them with three tries in the space of 7 minutes. Rapati going the length of the field. Briggs falling after 14 minutes. Then Ian Hardman, as quick as he likes, to put it on the inside after a superb break down the left. And all of a sudden, balls were kicked. It's 20 points to 6. And Castleford really struggling to make any sort of impact on the game.
They did get back into the game, and at the end of the day, with a leading thin field goal, that settled the nerves for Featherstone Rovers and claim a famous victory, I suppose, for them, the bragging rights within that area.
It was a big night. I would guess there's still some sore heads around Featherstone early. Just one incident that I want to talk about from that particular game. It's been picked up by the Rugby League. It was, dare I say, a tackle from Rangi Chase against Tangier Party. I describe it as a tackle. I don't think that the Rugby League will describe it as a tackle because he's actually been put on a grade C charge, which carries between 2 and 3 match ban. For me, it was a 4-hour smash, and sadly, Rapati is out for an extended period. He's broke his jaw.
Seems to be creeping in, doesn't it, with players leading with the forearms, whether they're carrying the ball up or going in to make the tackles, and I think it's something the RFL needs to have a look at and maybe try and stamp out.
What's the best in the other £300 fine for the Rugby League, regardless? That seems to be the figure that they're going off this season. We've actually got the cup draw for the fifth round.
Wellington versus Bradford, Fester versus Wigan, Lee versus Halifax, Huddersfield versus Swinton, Catalan Dragons take on Sheffield, Salford versus Leeds, Batley versus London, Oldham versus Staintown.
Thanks, Adrian. Those ties taking place on the weekend of the 27th to the 29th of April. We've got two TV games which, at this moment in time, as we record this, haven't yet been picked.
I'm going to put my neck on the line here. I'm going to pick the quarter-final, even though we're a couple of weeks away from the finish of being played. But I'm going to go for Warrington, Wigan, Lee, Huddersfield, Catalan, Leeds, Batley, St Helens.
That would be a great quarter-final lineup. So you heard it here first. Get your parents stuck on Batley. Adrian's taking them to win. Of course, after Challenge Cup matters, it's back to league action, isn't it?
The fixtures this weekend are Leeds versus Catalan Dragons, St Helens take on Witness Vikings, Wakefield versus Salford City Reds, Bradford Bulls versus Huddersfield, Hull FC versus Wigan, Hull Kingston Rovers versus London Broncos, Warrington versus Castleford. I'm going to put my tip of Catalan again for this one. I'm going to go for a Leeds victory at home, St Helens at home, Salford against Wakefield, and then go for the City Reds. Huddersfield will be Bradford, Wigan will be Hull FC, Hawkinson Rovers should be too good for London Broncos, Warrington to be Castleford.
Let's have a look at the Cooperative Championship fixtures there. Involve Halifax against Leeds Centurions, Shrewsbury Rams at home to Hunslet Hawks, Keithley Cougars at home to Sheffield Eagles, and we'll hear Jason Dimitri's thoughts on that fixture in just a moment. Swinton Lions take on Featherstone Rovers, and York City Knights take on Batley Bulldogs. And as Adrian has already put his head on the block twice this evening, it's about time I did the same. I'm going to go for a Lee victory away at Halifax. I think they'll upset the apple cart there. I can see Jusby Rams overcoming Hunslet with all their 10 players returning to the ranks. I actually think Keithley will push Sheffield all the way, but Sheffield will just end up edging that one. Featherstone Rovers will be too strong for Swinton Lions, and Batley Bulldogs will have too much in the tank for the York City Knights. But before we go any further, let's hear from Jason Dimitri talking to Adrian about the forthcoming game.
You know, Sheffield next week, which is, you know, a top four clash, and you know, a win at home would really set up a good night for us. Really, you know, we set ourselves a goal to get 7 points in April, and we need to beat Sheffield to achieve that.
he never played today. He can be expected out soon on the pitch.
I've been struggling with my knee a little bit. Like I said, they were rest this week, and it was more important that I'm right, ready to go for next week, and I'm going to see the doc now and get an injection, so I'll make sure that I'm good to go next week.
Now, for the Championship one fixtures are as follows: it's Battle Raiders versus Rochdale, Gateshead Thunder versus Doncaster, London Scholars take on Oldham, Southwell Scorpion versus Whitehaven, and finally it's Workington Town against the North Wales Crusaders. And I suppose that maybe for the Crusaders, all depends how shell shocked they are from that big defeat at the hands of Wigan.
The standout game for me in Property Championship one this weekend sees Barrow Raiders host Rochdale Hornets. And I asked John Stankovic about this one. This was his reaction.
I never thought I'd say it, but after today's performance, I can't wait to go to Barrow next week. So we're looking forward to it. You know, we turned Oldham over last week and did really, really well. Scoreline didn't reflect the game. We were, completely dominant from minute one to minute 80. And obviously, Oldham have turned Barrow over twice in the last 2 weeks. So, if you're looking at points and how teams have won, then, we should be going up to Barrow and getting the win. Doesn't work like that. I'm sure they want to react from two defeats against Oldham. We'll go up there and we'll make sure that we certainly compete with the one-on-ones, and hopefully kicking game will be better and we'll come away with a win.
I'm going to put my head on the block over here and actually go with the Rochdale Hornets victory. The other wins, I think, are going to go the way of Doncaster, Gateshead, London Scholars. I'll take them to come up with the results at home. I think that they'll certainly push out all the stops to defeat Oldham. I'm going for Whitehaven and South Wales Scorpions, and home advantage just edging it for Workington Town.
I agree with all them games. Over the London Scholars and Oldham game, I think Oldham will come back with the 3 points. So there's plenty of great rugby league action coming up in the next round of both Super League and the Championship and Championship One.